Omicron. Honest to Pete. Omicron. That's enough to make a girl give up hope.
It's showtime.
Oh, it is, it is, it is. And this program is live. It is the 29th day of November 2021. This is the hornheadon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Should you go a-looking. It's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, all time zones in the middle, and the great globe round. I'm one of those time zones in the middle, as a matter of fact. I'm in Central Time, and it plays with your head. It really, really does. My filthy morning habit comes on at 5 in the morning, and I'm just not okay for dealing with that shit at 5 in the morning. There's something about the difference between 5 and 6. I don't know. yes, Stockton Larry, Omicron is an anagram of Omicron is an anagram of moronic. I have a feeling we're going to find out just how much so. Yeah, hi, I'm Robin. And this is the final Moran Monday of the month of November. We got 2 days left in November. And, of course, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so thanks go out for this 29th day of the month to our subscribers for the 29th and the 28th and the 27th. So that means we send thank yous, so many thank yous, to our pal Joseph, and thanks as well to Charlene in Rogues Island, and thank you to Sharon. Thank you as well to Randy Radar, and thank you to Suman. Thanks to Robert in Australia. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping us cling to life, especially during this this month of occasional broadcasts and a whole lot of convalescence and healing and all of that. Thank you so very much indeed. Where are we fundraising wise? Well, it's a chore. It's actually more than what the number I'm about to announce is, but this is bad enough as it is. The fundraising goal for the end of November is $2,100. That's what we need to come up with to even be remotely close to being funded for the month and making sure that all the bills get paid and we can continue to eat and survive down here. So thank you in advance for those who jump in on that this Moran Monday and tomorrow's Titanic Tuesday. If we could have some sort of a community-made miracle, it would be fan-freaking-tastic. Thank you. Thank you so very much, for helping to keep independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting on the air. But like I said, Omicron. I got a notification, so I fired up the little machine and went and watched President Biden's remarks on the Omicron, or Omicron, actually. I think it's more of an A than an O. I mean, if you think about because that's a it's the Greek letter that looks like our letter O, but our letter O does double duty for O and A sounds. But if you think about Sophocles or Aristogiton or Socrates, all those A sounds are Omicron, whereas the long O sound is often made by the Omega letter, which is the last letter of the Greek alphabet, and Sparky being a longtime veteran master electrician will recognize the Omega letter for its uses in the wonderful world of electricity. And the Bible people, behold, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which is kind of weird for a guy who didn't speak Greek to have even said, but never mind. Or maybe it was Paul. I forget. I just can't. But it's Moran Monday here on the Horn. And, lo, we have many Morans. But before we jump off into the into the Moran Swamp. A couple of notes along the way. A little bit ago. And no, really, just to finish up what I was saying, and this probably says a hell of a lot more about me than it does about anybody else or the people doing this. I mean, we had Katie Turr struggling with O-M-I-C-R-O-N last week. She struggled mightily during one of her on-air segments at MSNBC. And then, like I said, today, President Biden, not once, not twice, but just as Peter denied Christ three times before the cock crowed, three times he pronounced it Omicron, which kind of sounds like a, like a clock that tells you what time it is in every time zone on the in the world, or maybe in the universe, or maybe it's some sort of universal constant clock, the Omicron. And Omni, of course, is a Latin word. Chron, time, chronos, that's Greek. And we took a simple little Greek letter, Omicron, and turned it into Omicron. And this is probably proof that I'm somewhere on the spectrum, because it just makes me want to chew my own toenails every time I hear it. Or so, it, this is not a difficult word, people. Omicron. But there, and I hate it for him, because this was, well, maybe this is the one time the right wing won't notice. I don't know. Maybe they won't, because after all, maggots, and yeah. Not enough dirt or rabbits, Ron and Raleigh writes. Now that the doughy murderer Kyle Rittenhouse has been set free, I still have a few questions about the case. The last man standing, or stand your ground laws, seem to have a fatal flaw. If there's only one person left alive after an altercation, it seems there can only be one outcome of a criminal case, barring extraordinary proof. Kyle Rittenhouse crossed state lines and picked up a gun, straw purchased for him by another party. The judge threw out the weapons charge by saying unless the rifle had a short barrel, it was perfectly legal for the underage Rittenhouse to have the weapon. So it seems that Kyle could have strode down the streets of Kenosha with a fully loaded 50 caliber sniper rifle. No one asked why this punk came to Kenosha with his weapon when it was mostly a peaceful protest about a black man being shot in the back seven times, point blank, I might add. He claimed he was asked to protect a car lot, the owners of which said they did not ask for his help. Even if there was looting and arson, I don't believe these are capital crimes. Did anyone notice? Well, yeah, and the fact of the matter is, that's what insurance is for. Insurance would have paid for it. Insurance probably did pay for it, whatever looting or whatever there was. And in point of fact, you cannot use deadly force to defend property in the state of Wisconsin, unless something, well, I mean, barring this stupid jury's verdict. Even if there was looting, yeah. Did anyone notice that only people shot to death were the people that Kyle Rittenhouse shot? I saw where many people were saying that the people that the baby-faced murderer killed were going to take his gun and kill him with it. Where was the proof of this assertion? Isn't it equally possible they were trying to disarm a person that had just shot someone to death? Last man Rittenhouse shot, in fact, did have a gun, but did not fire a single shot even after seeing Kyle kill two people. The worst part of this whole sordid affair is the person that ended the lives of two men and maimed another is being lauded as a hero by the right, being offered congressional internships, put up for a congressional medal, being interviewed by the right-wing press. The only good thing to come out of this is that organizations at Arizona State University asked that he be expelled, which may or may not happen. He needs to be shunned and vilified for the rest of his days. Well, I'm of a slightly different opinion, Ron. I think he should be kept, the people who didn't know how to do such things need to keep him, keep close tabs on his whereabouts. And once they've won a few civil suits against him, every time he makes a nickel, take the nickel. Yeah. Omicron asks Steve in New York. Oh, remember the Calliope playing in the Halcon days of yore? Oh, I know. I know. Yeah, I didn't bring our Calliope with us. That was one of the things that I forgot. You always forget something. And then this, Joseph and the Amazing Dreamcoat. Joey writes, "Hi, Horn family. Hope everybody's doing well and staying safe as well. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving and was able to be with their families this year, even though this pesky pandemic is far from over. I went to pick up Jeffrey in Boston and was pleasantly surprised to see that I-81 freeway near Scranton, Pennsylvania, was now named the Joe Biden Expressway, and now with part of the Build Back Better program in place, that and many other highways will be maintained and fixed up as needed. I arrived in Boston to pick up Jeffrey to bring him home for the holidays, and unlike the pleasant surprise in Scranton, I was treated with a terrible surprise as I saw Jeffrey was sporting a, oh no, Make America Great Again hat on his tall head. He's been hanging out in the wrong part of Boston. I was aghast and immediately thought that those elitists from the Northeast had gotten to Jeffrey. I immediately covered Junior's eyes and began to rage at Jeffrey in disgust when he explained to me why he was wearing the hat. He explained, oh, yes, I only found it appropriate to adorn this hat, considering that the Biff portion of the Build Back Better plan was initiated and passed, that I wear this cap because we're now going to do what Trump claimed he was going to do, and that is, with Biden's Build Back Better initiative, yes, with the BBB plan, we truly are going to make America great again. Joey, if you look closely underneath the Make America Great Again phrase, my hat in the small letter says BBB, thanks Joe Biden. I'm a little bit more at ease. Well done, I think, Jeffrey. Joey continues and said, I took Jeffrey to a play this past Saturday evening that was playing locally in Akron, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Jeffrey loved the play and had this to say following the play. I only wish we could get the rest of the Build Back Better done, and if that jerk in West Virginia, Joseph Manchin, the Amazing Turncoat Trader, that's good. That's a virtual cowbell. Yes, indeed. Would stop his bullshit, we could realize a great dream to help recoat this country. This has been Joey's Journal for Morion Monday, the 29th day of November, 2021, with Giraffe shunning the Warren Report, which was instituted on this day in 1964. The Warren Report, and it's still fantastical to this day, magic bullet theory. And so there's a $25 Joseph the Turncoat Trader Challenge on the table. If that's met, we'll be down to $2,050 to get this month fully funded. Thank you. Thank you so much, Joey and Giraffe. And don't look, Junior. You don't need to see that kind of thing. Mm-mm. No, not at all. Worry about that giraffe up in the great Northeast. I do. Obligatory Star Trek reference. I thought of Omicron CD3 from the episode This Side of Paradise. The spores save the people's lives but make them docile. Oh, dear God, there will probably be a Star Trek meme out there somewhere in right-wing world if there isn't already. Don't whisper that kind of stuff into the ear of the universe. Thank you to Sharon for jumping in. Joey's challenge is met. Thank you so much. And thank you to Frank jumping in. That's a tremendous help. And so we're 75, we're near to $2,000 to got it down that far already. That's wonderful. And by the way, Ralphs says, I'll kick in 25 bucks if somebody else kicks in 25. So, that would get us down below the $2,000 mark, and that would be huge. Thank you. As to Omicron, I mean, it wasn't Omicron the character in the Transformers or something? Oh, it's a Decepticon. Okay.
Well, it's not really, but that was
me. Sure sounds like one, though.
Oh, it's a Decepticon.
It is, yeah. Billable Rick says, didn't right-wing maggots just start a new TV network called Omicron? Weird coincidence that the maggots named their new network after the new COVID-19 variant. The goddess, she never, never sleeps. And no, she doesn't. I don't know. I think that needs further research by the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, Billable. I just have to remark. I mean, sitting here behind the desk is still a challenge, and it is still quite painful. And so I wiggle around a bit, but I had a fantastic weekend. Annette and I passed just a lovely Saturday together here. Nothing earth shattering, but we had a really nice lunch and watched some of the best college, one of the best single days of college football I've seen in a long time. And on top of it all, and this is the kicker, this is the important part, I drove. I took my little donut cushion with me out to the car and adjusted the seat and put the donut cushion in on the driver's seat, which then elevated my seating position such that I probably gave myself a low-grade concussion, banging my head against the roof of the car trying to get in. But that wasn't so bad, and I went about maybe 3 blocks total and got us lunch and brought it back here, and we watched Ohio State and Michigan, and we watched Alabama and Auburn, and we watched Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. And you couldn't have asked for 3 better football games. Michigan wanted the game. Don't turn away. We're just going to talk about college football for a minute. Michigan wanted it really badly. And the best part of that game was that it looked like a college football game from days of yore, with the snow swirling on the field and that pounding ground game that Michigan brought to the and with which Ohio State could not even begin to cope. And the joy of finally getting off the schneid and beating Ohio State was so apparent among the UM faithful, TTUN. They refer to each other as TTUN and TTDS. I told Steve from New York, the idea of referring to Ohio State as that team down south makes it sound like they're located at Columbus, Mississippi, and not Columbus, Ohio. The idea of Ohio being down south. Yeah, I know. Reminds me of born and raised in South Detroit. That's Windsor, Canada, damn it. But it was a wonderful day. But the high point of that of Saturday was me getting out and getting out and driving around, because it means that I'm healing and I'm getting better every day. And soon, not soon enough to suit me or Annette, but soon we'll pack up all of this stuff and we'll be able to head for the hills. And we both feel like we've been here for a year. Way too long. And we're probably a little bit stir crazy from, you know, we're just sort of living Hello Walls, that classic tune. And then I drove again yesterday. Not very far at all. Just down to the gas station and back. And looped around a couple of blocks just to see how I felt. And I managed okay. I'll probably have a doctor's appointment on Wednesday, so that's kind of a program note. I don't know what time it's going to be yet. They were supposed to get back with me. They haven't yet. But it's just a checkup, just to make sure everything is the way it ought to be. And I don't know what time that'll be. That might interfere with our first day of the month programming, but I hope not. So just a little heads up in advance of things. But driving felt really good. And you know, until you can't, you don't really fully understand how badly you miss being able to be in charge of your own mobility. Because things like DoorDash and Instacart, my God, they serve their purpose, but oh, the cost. And Instacart is, I realized last night, we were watching, Annette and I have been watching The Great on Hulu. Huzzah! Which is brutal and bloody and at the same time darkly hilarious. And so we were snacking, and I went and got the French onion dip and then my little can of Pringles, and as I pulled it down, I went, oh, no. because instead of my regular Pringles, which I know are toxic, don't bother, they brought me barbecue Pringles. Ugh. Blech. 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 Yuck. So that was kind of depressing. But overall, on balance, I'd say it was a very, very good weekend. And I hope this is the beginning of a good week and another week after that. And so check up on Wednesday, and then hopefully, I know I already have another one scheduled for December the 15th, and that'll be the important one to say, hit the road, girl. And the goal here is to be home before New Year's Day. And Lord, that's not us. We don't have a horn like that. They found it. They got it. Yeah, good. Let's see. Ron and Raleigh says the right wing and a Star Trek meme. I don't think you have to worry about the right wing coming up with a meme based on Star Trek. The only episode they like is Patterns of Force. You know, the one with Nazis. Point taken, Ron. Absolutely true, too. Jeremy in Vermont, Transformers G1. The name you're thinking of is Unicron, not Omnicron. Unicron, not a Decepticon or an Autobot at all, but a planet-sized transformer that eats other planets for its source of power. Unicron, which is bad enough because it's easily transposed to unicorn, and Jesus, it never stops. No. We didn't talk much on Friday on the front porch about the, I have to be careful or next thing you know, I'll be saying Omnicron and then I'll just have to, you know, stick my head in a bucket. Didn't talk much about the Omicron variant on Friday, but Lord, you couldn't turn on a news channel without being bombarded with speculation and meaningless, more meaningless speculation about what it means. And of course, we've closed the country to some other countries, and there's a debate as to whether that is right or wrong. But the fact of the matter is, it was discovered in South Africa, but that is not necessarily where it originated. In fact, it's highly unlikely that it originated there. I've heard a number of experts opining over the last 24 to 48 hours that it is almost certainly already in the United States. And, of course, in the United States, it will be pushed along and promulgated by the sorts of people who win the Herman Cain Award on a regular basis. And, God, we are a country beset by just enough idiots to make things dangerous for the rest of us. Ugh, so tiresome. The best bet, and the messaging has been consistent from the Biden administration, the best response to all of this is to get, if you're not vaccinated, get your vaccine. If you haven't had your booster, get your booster. And Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson are working to come up with a response to it. And all the various, 32 different mutations. And of course, members of our community are ahead of the game simply because we have Paul from Parts Unknown. Haven't heard from Paul in a while. Hope Paul's doing okay. But the fact of the matter is, he warned us about all this. Remember the analogy that Paul used about the virus getting to buy lottery tickets, and that the lottery tickets are being bought in places where people aren't vaccinated, and that every time it replicates, it buys another lottery ticket, and, well, there's Omicron. That was on purpose. That was on purpose. And here in this railroad town, I hear the 424 blowing through Birmingham. Um, And one of the things that President Biden talked about today was the fact that we have given away, what did he say, 270 million, something like that, vaccines. Sounds like a lot of vaccines. But on a planet with billions of people, we need to be giving away a lot more, because the bottom line is we're not going to get it. We have enough stupid people in this country to be a problem on its own. But we have to get under-resourced nations vaccinated with, well, we need to be making even greater efforts than we are. And, well, 270 million is nice, but we need to push it. We need to push it even further. And one of the sad things is when Biden mentioned this, he said, and we're doing it without any cost or anything to the American taxpayer, as if that should even be a consideration. But we live in a time when Republicans will bark and grunt and hoot and squeal and scratch themselves and complain, why are we got to be spending money on other countries when we ought to be spending it on the poor little billionaires back here to home? I hate them. They make me so sick. And of course, we've got, speaking of making me sick, further developments in the adventures of Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, to get at here in a little bit. Yeah. As to the Omicron variant, Stephen New York says, it strikes me that the real story about the emergence of the Omicron variant is what our betters on the MSM are not talking about, too, wit the vaccine haves not sufficiently committing to the proliferation of vaccines for the vaccine have-nots, which is exactly what I was just talking about. To Steve's credit, he said that before I mentioned what I did. Billable Rick, the 310 to Yuma, when does that arrive in Birmingham? Well, it's going the wrong way for being headed for Yuma. It might leave Birmingham, but, and these are, for the most part, these are all freight trains, although the Crescent, Amtrak's Crescent, does run through here at one point in time. Annette was thinking about taking that home until she decided to just stay and go home with me whenever that day comes. Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly. Albert in Rhode Island says, it's great to hear you on the air. I'm glad your surgery went well. Me too. And I knew it was going to be hard, but I, honest to God, I had no idea what recovery from surgery demands of the human body. It is absolutely astonishing. But my little scars on my belly where they went in and played a video game for that part of my surgery, stitches and they've almost entirely, the stitches have almost entirely dissolved on the one above my belly button, and they're on the way out on the one over to my left. So that's a good sign. The sutures are healing up in other places, and there's just a couple of spots left that make things like sitting and crossing legs and just plopping down a little bit too much of a challenge to yeah. Mm-hmm. Billable Rick again. College football games this weekend. Did you happen to catch the Iowa-Nebraska game on Friday? Iowa launched an improbable 12-point comeback in the fourth quarter, bolstered by a blocked punt, touchdown, and a safety, because on Minnesota's upset win over Wisconsin, Iowa is now in the Big Ten title game next weekend against TTUN, i.e. Michigan. Yay, go Hawkeyes! They got a chance. But I got to figure, I got to think that Iowa will enter that game an underdog. And if Michigan stays fired up the way they were this past Saturday, they're going to be awfully hard to beat. And then somehow or another, that'll probably, if they do beat Iowa, that'll get them into the Final Four of the playoff. And God, it'll be so nice when we finally get shed of this four-team playoff thing and expand it a little bit to make it fair. I mean, there are teams that deserve to be in the playoffs. Cincinnati, if they can win the Big 12 championship, Oklahoma State, probably the most amazing defense in the country, on a par with Georgia. And then, of course, you know, what was near and dear to my heart, the Alabama-Auburn game. Oh, my God. Auburn came in and whipped Alabama's ass for 59 minutes. And then lost in four overtimes. It was, but Alabama found a way to win. And so maybe they were looking past Auburn because they didn't have to beat Auburn to get into the SEC championship, but they did have to beat Auburn to stay in the top four. So I know Brother Bishop Steve, all around great guy from Georgia Stan, will be rooting hard for the Dogs next Saturday. We will be temporary adversaries in that regard. And I can only hope that Bama does what Bama does often so well, and that is, and you know, hopefully Georgia's looking past Alabama and et cetera, et cetera. And Bama has a bunch of problems to solve before next Saturday, like, you know, the offensive line. But God, their quarterback, Bryce Young, that young man has ice water in his veins, and he never got flustered, never panicked. Was absolutely amazing. As to Nebraska and Iowa, Steve in New York says, 12-point deficit. Hell, it was a 15-point deficit. They were down 21-6. Are we having ciphering problems? Jack in Shreveport, why are we spending on all those people over there? We need to be spending on people here at home. Listen to some callers on Washington Journal. Oh, dear. They don't want to spend any money on people here at home either. No, of course not. That's welfare. That's communism is what that is. That's socialism as long as it ain't for me. Yeah, there's a reason I can't do Washington Journal. No. Introspection and challenge, says Steve in New York. I finally had to admit something to myself. I used to think that the OSU-TTUN game excited me. It was fun, but it was, in the end, just a game. Then, after losing as we did, I realized that I really don't buy any of that it's just a game horse manure. The fact is, I really do hate TTUN. I really do want TTUN to lose. I really do want OSU to humiliate TTUN. All that especially applies to Coach Khaki Pants' person. Normally, for any other Big Ten team, I'd want them to represent in the playoff or any other bowl game. However, I want TTUN to lose. I want them to choke. I want whomever they play to humiliate them. The best part of that is he has such a record of choking, it's nearly a sure bet that they will. As a result, I'm offering a $15 I hope they effing choke challenge. All right, well, I don't expect any... And I don't expect any UM fans to be signing on to that, but if you share something resembling Steve's sentiments, well, by all means, please kick in $15 and he'll double it. And remember, there's $25 of doubling courtesy of Ralph's as well. And that would get us down to, let's see, that would get us down to 1945, if both of those challenges are met, and that would be tremendously helpful. And I understand the viscerality of it. I do. As to Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, Lee says, do you mean her audition as a right-wing comedian? You know, call it what you may, but oh my God. So this morning I was curious because I managed, like I said, to catch the beginning of my filthy morning habit. And they were, lo and behold, talking about Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley. And Joe pontificated about her apology and her apology and her apology and I was sitting there making my stitches hurt, but non-apology. When you say I'm sorry if I offended, you're not apologizing. You're putting the onus on anyone who was offended. You're asserting that your conduct was not offensive in the first place, and that an apology is not warranted. But of course, that level of detail is way too deep, or broad, or both, for the for-profit media. And so I just sat there and watched and made my stitches hurt. But lo and behold, little miracles do happen. And so there was Jonathan Lemire, who has now, he's been tapped to, at one point in time, it was, what's her name, Jackson. And there were a couple of others that got the duty, too. Apparently hosting the hour of news before My Filthy Morning Habit is some sort of a rite of passage. So now Jonathan Lemire is hosting it. And then he sits over. And by the way, this is kind of telling because Willie Geist used to do the same thing. And before that, Joke Toad did the same thing. And then they moved Joke Toad into co-hosting duties. And then they booted him over to Meet the Press, where he embarrasses any idea of broadcast journalism every blessed day. And so Willie Geist moved into that slot. And I don't know. Hallie Jackson, that's who I was thinking of. And so now, but Jonathan Lemire carried over and was part of the panel this morning, and they talked about Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley's apology, and he at least made mention of the fact that, well, you know, it was one of those if I offended you apologies. Again, not enough time or maybe inclination to point out the difference that if you're wrong about something and an apology is called for, you simply say, I was wrong and I'm sorry. Or you say, I was wrong and I apologize. But see, a Clanny Oakley can't do that because her Islamophobia is, of course, a good dollar. And she is fundraising for all she's worth on it. And so today, there was a, I guess what you'd call an orchestrated phone call between Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, and Ilhan Omar, which Clanny Oakley immediately turned into another me fundraising opportunity, complaining bitterly, Moran that she is, that Ilhan Omar hung up on me. She hung up on me. And she created an Instagram video to fail to explain herself.
Hey everyone, this is Lauren with a quick update on a phone call I had today with squad member Ilhan Omar.
Squad member. And of course, all the people, the little maggots that are watching that, know to include the word jihad in front of squad, because that's what Lauren Bobblehead Boobert refers to them as, the jihad squad.
I had reached out to her Friday, and 3 days later, I was able to connect with her on the phone because I wanted to let her know directly that I had reflected on my previous remarks. Now, as a strong Christian woman.
Yeah, as a strong Christian woman. Yeah, okay, tell us more. Everything that follows from strong Christian woman has absolutely nothing to do, by the way, of course, and you know this, with Christianity. But we're surprised why not.
Woman who values faith deeply, I never want anything I say to offend someone's religion. So I told her that.
Yeah, she doesn't want to offend someone's religion. If she offends someone who practices that religion, that is entirely a different thing. This is how stupid this woman is. How monumentally idiotic. She has the brain power of undercooked oatmeal. Understanding that that is a dire insult to every bowl of undercooked oatmeal from the last 10,000 years to the next. Doesn't want to offend. You can't offend a religion. You can only offend the people who practice it. And the fact of the matter is, it would be kind of nice if some Christians out there would say, well, she's no Christian, and she is a walking offense to everyone who actually tries to walk the walk and talk the talk. But, well, Christianity's not very good at policing itself that way.
Then after I put out a public statement to that effect, she said that she still wanted a public apology because what I had done wasn't good enough. So I reiterated to her what I had just said. She kept asking for a public apology. So I told Ilhan Omar that she should make a public apology to the American people for her anti-American, anti-Semitic, anti-police rhetoric.
In other words, she reached out to double down on her non-apology. This has nothing to do with anything that Ilhan Omar has said or will say. It is strictly in the moment. And yet Lauren Bobblehead Boebert makes it about herself.
She continued to press, and I continued to press back. And then Representative Omar hung up on me. Rejecting an apology and hanging up on someone is
part. Now, see, she didn't reject the apology because, dipshit, you didn't make one. Jesus, Clanny Oakley.
Part of cancel culture 101 and a pillar of the Democrat Party. Make no mistake, I will.
Democrat Party. She's just a greatest hits album of right wing stupid.
Continue to fearlessly put America first, never sympathizing with terrorists. Unfortunately,
Jesus, she just called her a terrorist again. This would be funny. But it ain't. What she's doing is, this is, of course, and we all know, this is stochastic terrorism. She's hoping that some gun-humping AK-40 or AR-15 carrying, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, amosexual Christian will pick up their freedom protector and, you know, go pump some lead into Ilhan Omar. She doesn't know who it'll be, but she just hopes it's somebody. That's how stochastic terrorism works.
Ilhan can't say the same thing, and our country is worse off for it. Please know I appreciate you and your support. I appreciate you.
You and your support. That means send money.
Understanding that I will always shoot straight with you. This is
shooting. See, really? Could it get any plainer?
It isn't about religion. It's about the horrible failed Democrat policies and anti-Americanism that I will call out each and every time I hear it.
You know what? She couldn't call out a 440A note if she heard it. She lacks the fundamental intellectual heft to be able to do it. I mean, really, Atne Ute Aipre, if you own what I mean. That's for any Lauren Bobblehead Boebert supporters that may be lurking in the background.
I am here to protect your freedom and continue making this the greatest nation our world has ever seen.
God, the greatest nation in the country of the history of the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe under God. Amen. Never been a greater nation. Not one. Not even close. Nowhere. No how. Mm-mm. But this greatest country in the history of the world, in the universe, now forever on earth, forever under God, still can't seem to make sure that every one of its citizens can go to the doctor when they're sick. Can't make sure that nobody in this country goes to bed hungry. Can't make sure that moms and dads who work one, two, three, four jobs have someone who can competently care for their children without bankrupting themselves in service of the capitalist miracle. Can't do any of those things. Somehow, can't even manage to stop blowing up and poisoning entire communities in central Appalachia. Mm-hmm. Can't make sure that people earn something resembling a living wage, whatever it is that they do. Can't do that. Mm-mm. Well, I tell you what, for such a great country, we sure got a whole bunch of can'ts. But there she is. And hopefully there, please, please, if you live in Colorado, pretty please, help get that thing out of office. And the embarrassment that she is to the idea of the Congress. Lord knows Kevin McCarthy's not going to do anything about her. He bowed and scraped before Marjorie Traitor gangrene cue ball this past weekend, letting her set the terms for what she will and will not vote for if they should happen to retake the House majority. And my God, the thought of that just gives me the fan tods. But you can't, there's a very specific reason why the for-profit media won't stop this stupid, this stupid constant speculation. What if the Republicans take back the... Because, God, they are so hopelessly addicted to their horse race attempt at journalism. It's just unbearable. In fact, today, Politico had a story that I saw where they were talking about who Nitwit Nero will choose as his vice presidential running mate. Now, the presidential election is in 2024. We are coming up on the end of 2021. And not to put too fine a point on it, but he hasn't even announced yet that he's running. So far, it's just a big fundraising grift. But there's Politico. Oh, you know, he made a safe choice in Mike Pence, choosing a regional balance to the ticket. And then immediately falling into the trap of talking about whatever it was that Nitwit... You know, they're all coming down here to Mar-a-Lard-ass, to see my Lard-ass, to worship my Lard-ass. Ugh. Please. But I can say please until the cows come home, and they're not going to stop this stupidity. Oh, no. They're going to keep pumping this stuff out just to fill space. They've got to pump out pixels. They got to get eyeballs on screens. And I read the whole stupid article, and there was not a single piece of news in it. It was just fluff masquerading as news. And you got to wonder who's the executive editor there, and you know who passes out the assignments, because it was absolute and utter garbage. Now, to be fair, you know, he runs his mouth every day. And now he's pitching. Today he's been about pitching books. Molly Hemingway's best-selling book, Rigged, is a great read on the corrupt fake news media and big tech's interference in the 2020 presidential election. He was grunting away about the election, spreading the big lie all weekend long. Congratulations to James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on his incredible new book, Rush on the Radio. We all terribly miss the great Rush Limbaugh, but this is a perfect tribute to his legacy. Sure. Sure, Jan. Sure. Meanwhile, Rush Limbaugh, in case anybody was wondering, is still dead and still getting the reverse pineapple down in the pineapple lounge in the nether place. Matt writing in, Boebert. So we're paying this woman $175,000 a year to engage in childish high school antics and perpetual racist tropes. Talk about a waste of tax dollars. Waste, fraud, and abuse, Matt. Thanks, Matt, in San Francisco. Although I take issue with one in one regard. These are not childish high school antics. These are childish junior high school antics. She is one perpetual seventh grade slap fight. Oh, and thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. Billable Rick said, Steve from New York's I Hope They Choke Challenge. Challenge met. What's the amount? $15. $15, Billable. Thank you for that. So that gets us down to $2,095. And if Ralph's challenge of $25 is met, that'll get us down to $1,945 to finish this long and sort of attenuated broadcast month of November. Thank you, Billable. Billable pointing out, Steve missed my caveat as to Iowa's comeback. Iowa was down 21-6 in the third quarter until it kicked a field goal, narrowing the spread to 21-9, heading into the fourth, a 12-point fourth quarter comeback. Okay, now we are deep in the college football weeds. Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, Steve in New York, says, we need to add an adjective. Given that none of what she is saying is true, we should add the term lying to her name, to wit, lying Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, a.k.a. Clanny Oakley. Or maybe instead of the participial form, let's make it the noun form, liar Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, a.k.a. Clanny Oakley. Mm-hmm. So we've managed to cover a good little bit of ground in this first hour of the program. A little bit of breaking news coming from the New York Times. The Centers for Disease Control strengthened its COVID booster advice to say all adults should get a shot. The New York Times adding breathlessly, as scientists race to understand the Omicron variant. God bless the New York Times. They haven't gotten around to calling it the Omicron variant yet. This is a change, though, because the CDC was previously saying that if you're over 50 or 18 and older living in long-term facilities, you should get a booster shot, while other adults may decide to do so based on their individual risk. But now, with Omicron out there looming in the distance, they've said, no, everybody needs to get a shot. And that was what President Biden was reiterating earlier today. Let's see here. Sorry, I just got a little stabbing pain. I don't know how long this is going to last. But, you know, getting some program in every day, I think, is part of the important part. Just a few other high notes to hit along the way. Tom Cotton. Tom Head Full of Cotton. The senator from the a senator from the state of Arkansas, perpetual embarrassment to dear friends like our pal Haley. It's not going to go anywhere, but he didn't introduce it to go anywhere. He introduced it as a fundraising measure to get the barking and grunting and hooting and screeching and self-scratching jackasses back home who support him to send him money. Yeah, I'm sorry, moving around a little bit. No, he's introduced a new piece of
legislation, and of course that piece of legislation is entirely and decidedly hateful, because that's what maggots specialize in. Moving over to the couch just to try to extend things a little bit. Annette, if you would be so kind as to hand me the iPad. You'll have to unplug the little cord there at the side. Yeah, Cleopatra is moving over to her barge. Trying to take a little bit of pressure off the pressure off stitches and whatnot so that we don't have another. Oh, I hate the scratching. We'll get this settled down in a second. Okay, maybe if I don't move. There, all better, I hope. No, you're still gonna lay over against my top. Ooh, I tell you what, this microphone picks up the 455 through Birmingham really, really well. It's one of the little things about being here that I've kind of, at first it was like, God damn, trains all the time. But now they've become sort of a familiar little piece of background noise. And it's, strange as it may seem, it's become kind of pleasant, kind of relaxing, kind of reassuring. Doggone it, hold on. What, dear? Yeah. Okay, so we do that. And we do this. Sorry, I know that's annoying as hell. It's probably driving Sparky quite out of his tree. He hates that kind of noise. Is that mic on? I don't know. Mic 2? Did I turn mic 2 off?
It's not on.
I said, did I turn mic 2 off? That's mic 2. Did I turn it off?
Yes.
Okay, so that's muted, so we're good.
Don't worry, I'm not talking.
No, you can talk. No, I just want to know. You turn on mic 2 if you want to jump in.
Go ahead.
Tom Cotton. Nobody quite hates...
Do you need that over there?
No, I'll do that on the...
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, the technical tomfoolery. There we go. All better. Tom Cotton's introduced new legislation in the Senate because, you know, the Senate needs... more hate. Kind of makes me wonder how, say, I don't know, Joe Manchin would respond to this. He has introduced legislation that will, and of course this is one of those act in haste, repent in leisure things. If you grew up in the South, and you know, it's not even necessarily limited to the South, it happens in the West, and and, you know, other places as well, but especially in the South. Now, your name may be Aloysius McGillicuddy Hamstring III, but when you go to school, you're going to be called one of two things, either Trey or Trip.
Or Apple.
No, Trey or Trip, because you're the third. And you'll probably spend the rest of your natural born days running away from Aloysius McGillicuddy Hamstring III. Kind of like how Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III tried to get through life just being called JF without maybe reminding so many people that he was named after the president of the Confederacy, a traitor. Yeah. And so, you know, it starts in kindergarten, first grade. With Aloysius, no, I won't be called Trey. I won't be called Trip. That's what my papa calls me. And then there's, of course, the ubiquitous Bubba. You know, Bubba is usually a portly little fella who's going to grow up to have about 4 foot wide shoulders and probably play on the offensive line of the high school football team. And you know, his name may very well be Stacy Leslie Jones, but he's going to be Bubba. Yes, that was the nickname, but that wasn't his nickname when he was a kid.
Oh, sorry.
You can open the mic.
That's okay. Keep going.
Okay, I will. Well, Tom Cotton, in an effort to make sure that them little trans kids know their place in this here world, has introduced a federal piece of legislation that would prevent schools in America, ever school in America, from using a child's preferred pronouns or name unless the parents provided written permission as well as a statement of approval from the Commissioner of Major League Baseball. I made up the Major League Baseball part, but yeah. And of course he says that this would make sure that parents' wishes was observed. Now, of course, the thing we have to remember is that this is a piece of legislation in search of a problem, as 100% of all these pieces of anti-trans legislation are. It means that a little trans boy can't be called he and him, and a little trans girl can't be called she and her by their teachers, no matter how much they fit the gender norms, and they need Tom Cotton's permission. And in a sort of hearkening back to the Stasi rat out your neighbor bill in Texas with regard to abortions, This bill creates a specific right to sue a school board for damages if they happen to call young Aloysius McGillicuddy Hamstring III she/her, because maybe young Trip doesn't want to be a Trip anymore, doesn't feel like one. That's just the neighbors going by. As the news story from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette puts it, under the legislation, schools would not be able to receive federal funding unless they receive parental consent when it comes to affirming a transgender student's gender identity. An affirming action can include using a transgender youth's chosen pronouns. And
let's step back. And
turn. Is your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's step back and take a look at that.
Yes, ma'am.
So, a child telling you that they are he, she, or
no, that they are he, him,
he,
or she,
he,
her.
Him or she, her is now a problem.
Well, yeah, because it violates God's law.
Well, Tom Cotton can go piss up a rope. Because it's not violating God's law, unless he wants to get a little deeper into that.
Well, he wants to make God's law America's law so that Jesus will love us again and give us all frisbees and wheat chicks.
Well, I'd suggest letting children be who they want to be so that when they're adults, there aren't problems.
Yeah, and so that they don't have a lifetime of misery and, oh, I don't know, a 40% suicide rate.
Pretty much. So,
let me
run for you.
No, you're right. No, I found him.
I got you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Keep going.
No, but and so you know, what this is, this has nothing to do with the effective administration of school systems or anything like that. This has everything in the world to do, dear, with...
being a dick.
Okay, you wanted to put it in. Okay, that works for me, with being a dick. But it also has to do with the fact that he knows it's a good dollar in Arkansas and throughout the country in the maggot base to fundraise on the backs of little 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16-year-old trans kids. Because there's no shame in the right-wing maggot movement. They will attack anybody.
Yeah, they attack each other.
No, not so much. But they will attack anybody that they deem to be weaker than themselves in an effort to raise money. Exactly.
Yeah. It's not poor folks.
And you know, they, of course, it's also a sort of toxic virtue signaling of the right wing. Look, we can trust Tom Cotton. He ain't going to put up with none of that trans bullshit. He's going to keep them where they need to be, right there in the closet.
And married to people who are not... So creating more strife than what they needed.
Yeah, good Christian marriages.
That's not a Christian marriage.
But for the time being, at least, this will go nowhere. I don't think he could get the 60, even if Republicans took over the Senate next year, they couldn't get the 60 votes necessary to do this.
They seem to be blowing a lot of breath and not...
His office issued a statement on this saying, this bill asks that schools keep parents informed and receive parental consent before facilitating any important changes. Nothing more. This is common sense. Yeah. So look for this, with Tom Cotton's leadership, look for this to be replicated in the House. You know, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert or Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball will, I'm sure, introduce a companion bill, and they'll fundraise off of it, and then it'll be introduced, something similar will be introduced in the legislatures of Arkansas and Talabama and Mississippi Stan. Probably West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
If it comes, I'll be the first one up there.
It's just because it's a good dollar. And it's just so tiresome. Carl Charles, a staff attorney in the Southern Regional Office of Lambda Legal, said that allowing schools to affirm kids' gender is a critically important way that the school system can help meet the mental health needs and the social and cultural needs of school children, and again, help them to not try to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Miserable little shitbird. Never a dull moment. And by the way, this will the cord's not long enough. This won't really hold till Wednesday, and this certainly qualifies as Moran material. But we have a sighting from it's okay. No, don't worry about it. It's okay.
I got it.
No, don't. It's all right. Take too much effort and too much flounging around. We're talking. This comes from Bucket Puddin Central. Jim Baker, who had a woman who calls herself a prophet, an end times preacher, named Sharon Gilbert, who, when she comes to the end of her roads and days, will be no nearer the return of Jesus Christ than than at any time in the last 2,000 years. I don't think he's coming back. Didn't have the best time here in the first place. But the guy have content on Jim's show. And so consequently, she showed up on the Jim Baker show to talk about the time that a demon imitated her hubby. call me cynical or perhaps crazy, but I think that's probably what happens when hubby gets hold of a bottle of Old Panther piss or, you know, some Mexican gasoline tequila or whatnot.
That's methed up.
That is methed up, dear. You're absolutely right. So, she told Jim Baker about an encounter with a demon. Still no word on anti-demon legislation from Tom Cotton. No. This is so good. I just love this. She said that an alien, as noted before, not a demon, I was wrong. It was an alien. Sita.
I'm invisible.
Phone home.
My name is Bert.
Yeah, Sharon Gilbert said that an alien imitated her husband and tried to get her to have sex with him.
Didn't want to otherwise, though.
No, wait, I mean, yeah, this is better than not tonight, honey. I have a headache.
No, I'm walking away from this.
You know that one. What did the fishwife say to the fishmonger? Not tonight, honey. I have a headache. Yeah, I guess she wasn't into it that evening. And, I ain't having sex with you. You're an alien.
Oh, no, really? No, let me pour you a shot too, baby.
And so what kind of alien? I'm just saying.
Well, you know, the amorphous, multi-limbed aliens of Norblap 9, they can create things that humans I'm have never curious. Even seen or dreamed of.
Maybe it's because he asked for sex.
But at first, the alien said he was her husband. And then when that didn't work, because what woman out there is not just transported by paroxysms of delight by being told that that he's actually a Persian ruler from the 6th century BCE? Okay, you got me. I'm not really your husband. I'm the Persian Emperor Xerxes. The Achaemenid Emperor Xerxes. Behold my mighty powers and despair.
What did she eat for dinner before this happened?
Mushrooms, baby, mushrooms. with a side of peyote gravy. I don't know. Then it claimed to be Xerxes, and then Jesus got involved, and then the alien turned out to be a reptile with a posse of gargoyles. You know, the way my stitches have been feeling, I feel like maybe I got a posse of gargoyles. I don't know.
Hey, gargoyles ward off evil.
Mm-hmm. After Derek and I got married and this other Derek appears in our bed, the real Derek is lying down next to me. The other Derek sits right up out of him and it startled me. Startled? Really? Startled? Derek.
Derek.
Mm-hmm. What I knew. Now wait. I knew it was not Derek, and so I asked this critter, "Who are you?" Because clearly he wanted to have sexual relations. He said, "I am your husband." I said, "Who are you?" He had the nerve to claim to be Xerxes. Other Derek seriously wanted to invite me to use my free will to do something that was going to pull me away from God. Oh, I don't know, honey. If he was an alien, you might have seen God. Because Derek is apparently not much use. He's laying there passed out in the bed. Other Derek was joined by other small creatures. The last time I knew, he was really desperate, and I asked him again, "Who are you?" And he told me the same answer and said, "I'm not going." And I said, "I am not going with you." This was an internal dialogue. Finally, I said, "I've had enough," in my mind. Not the kind of thing you say out loud. I reached up, I grabbed his face, and I said, "You are a liar, and Jesus is real." I pulled that face off, and beneath it was a reptile.
She was watching me.
It was a three-horned giant, something, purple people eater. Mm-hmm. He had little creatures with him this time. He brought these little halfling creatures. Hobbits? Really? Halflings? He had little creatures with him this time. He brought these little halfling creatures, and they looked like gargoyles, and they were very reptilian as well. Beneath the face of Derek was a reptilian serpentine creature. Serpentine. Sheldon, there serpentine.
The flames. Where do you pick this stuff up?
Oh God! Thank God for Hamant Mehta over at the Friendly Atheist. He watches this shit every day for these little moments. And over on Twitter, somebody said, "Well, you know, it happens. Who among us hasn't pulled their husband's face off to find a horny reptilian?"
Me? I've not done that. Oh.
My God, it's a big tent that they're all under. It's a big, crazy, hallucinogen-filled tent. I hate it when that happens. It's hard enough to get a good night's sleep, and then Bloody Xerxes turns up followed by Jesus and reptilian aliens.
What did Jesus have in the mix? That's what I want
to
know.
Well, he has the power to command reptilian aliens with gargoyle halflings to be gone. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I definitely don't want what she's got.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
I think she had COVID.
That Persian emperor was Zoroaster. No, Steve. Zoroaster was never a Persian emperor. He was a prophet who came out of basically Afghanistan, because the Zoroastrianism arose among the Medes. And not the good kind of Mead, like, you know, you drink and tear the arm off a monster in Beowulf. We're talking about the Medes, not the Meads. Going back to the 2022 elections, Ron and Raleigh says there's a good, no, bad possibility. The House and Senate may revert to Republican control after the midterms next year. Try to wrap your head around what the House and Senate proceedings will look and sound like with Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cue Ball and Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Liar Lauren Bobblehead Boobert Clanny Oakley as committee chairs. The BIF and the BBB will be rolled back, among other crap. I thought 8 years of Reagan and Bush was bad. But this... oh, this will be hell. And it will. And frankly, I mean, I give no quarter on this, because one of the reasons that it may very well happen is because of the story of the inevitability being put out there by the for-profit media. I swear to God, it feels like a form of broadcast voter suppression. No, y'all don't need to come out. You're not going to win anyway. And besides, Joe Biden didn't give you a pony. Yeah, Joe Biden didn't give us a pony. And I don't know, but who knows? In the next few months, the Sparkle Fart propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol may be in full dudgeon as to Sharon Gilbert with her alien Persian king husband. Matt in San Francisco says she needs a lock. There are far too many people in her bedroom. Yeah. Odd people under the bed.
She needs more than a lock.
I'm thinking she needs one of them things you can order on Amazon.
No, she needs...
kind of hums.
Somebody needs a blow dart now. No, that's not what she needs. It sounds like she's been having too much bestiality, never having to say you're sorry. I mean, there it is.
True enough. True enough. And, there's other stuff. You know, we've been covering this one story out of, what is it, Williamson County, Tennessee, for a couple of months now. It goes back to before we even came down here. Former military pilot who has become a right-wing hustler, you know, because you can, because the crazier you are, the more money you can rake in from the rubes of the right wing. She's the head of a chapter of Moms for Liberty. Sit, Liberty, sit. Wow, Liberty barked in stereo on that one.
Yeah, I hear it far.
They're suing now. They've moved into suing the Department of Education of the state of Tennessee over, of course, critical race theory. And now Moms for Liberty, having filed a complaint with the Tennessee Department of Education, say they want several books banned from the curriculum in the elementary school. They want a book by Francis Ruffin called Martin Luther King Jr. and the March on Washington banned. And they want Ruby Bridges Go to School, My True Story by Ruby Bridges banned. Months ago when we first picked this story up, they were also upset about, you'll remember, seahorse sex. And in the formal complaint filed by Moms for Liberty, I'm still trying to figure out what any of this has to do with liberty, the freedom to pursue and consume information, the freedom to read books is essential to liberty, but these are book banners. Well, they want the book by Francis Ruffin, Martin Luther King Jr. and the March on Washington. They want it banned because it shows, quote, photographs of white firemen blasting black children to the point of bruising their bodies and ripping off their clothes with fire hoses, and showing photographs of segregated drinking fountains.
Why is it that they never want Mein Kampf banned? I mean, I'm just asking.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. But then again, you wouldn't want to ban something that Donald Trump probably kept by his bedside.
Not that Donald Trump.
No, oh, I know. And they pled, some children are seeing counselors to overcome the emotional trauma inflicted upon them by what they learned in Tennessee public education. Targeting elementary age children with daily lessons on fighting past injustices as if they were occurring in present day violates Tennessee law and will sow the seeds of racial strife.
You mean like the transgender
man? Sick little manipulative mommies and daddies in Tennessee are taking their children to counselors and saying, tell them how much you hated seeing them pictures. But I doubt very sincerely that they're going to be able to get any of those counselors to come in and testify.
Maybe the children really are upset and tell their parents that, and they don't feel that the children should be upset. And so they want it removed.
Right, because history
child,
is...
What little child that doesn't...
Well, right, and see, they're not exactly showing, kindergartners the pictures of Bloody Sunday in Selma. They're not doing that.
Well, and they're not that graphic in the books.
No. The seahorse sex book that these assholes were so upset about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They fulminated bitterly about the seahorse sex because... You know, the males carry the baby seahorses, and that's against God's law.
Now God made them, so it must be okay.
But the problem is, there weren't any pictures of that. There were just pretty little watercolor drawings that didn't even show seahorses even bumping tummies and wrapping their tails together. None of that. But it was what they were thinking. It's the same thing with this.
Sounds like they got some hentai problems there.
So, anyway, it turns out that the complaint filed before the Tennessee Department of Education was, in fact, dismissed because they were complaining about things that happened last year, and the way the law is written in Tennessee, the Department of Education can only address a curriculum that's taught in the current school year.
Well,
The department is only authorized to investigate allegations that have occurred during the 2021-2022 school year and subsequent school years. But it didn't happen, which is largely par for the course with these goons, because most of this stuff are fulminations that occur mainly and almost exclusively in their own teeny, tiny, little bitty, microscopic minds. Or in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between their ears and pass for brains.
Well, that happens when somebody thinks they're more important than somebody else.
Well, we can't have good little white children learning about all the...
It doesn't matter your color.
Yeah, it does. These aren't black people that are complaining about that, dear.
I understand that. That's not what I'm saying.
And the fact of the matter is, this is a backlash. Well, you took down our statues of Robert E. Lee. And he loved his slaves, even though there are historical accounts of him beating them mercilessly. So these assholes are not going to go away. And the only way to even come close to stopping this is to win. And the only way to win is to get energized and not let these stupid self-fulfilling prophecies of the for-profit media. Democrats and Republicans are going to take the House and the Senate. Blah, 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 blah. Make them eat that. Oh, goddamn, we were wrong. But it's an off year and nobody's getting ponies and they're out there barking and hooting. You know what? Every illegal alien in America is going to get $450,000 from the Biden administration. They ain't giving me no $450,000.
There are people out there selling tumblers, supposedly with tears in them.
Yeah. Okay?
Money's money. It's to get the money.
It's all about the money.
Exactly.
And show me the money.
Get in office.
Oh, and by the way, we have a newly, relatively newly charged January 6th insurrectionist. And this is pretty rich. James Beeks. That's B-E-E-K-S. James Beeks. Has been charged for his participation in the January 6th assault on constitutional governance and the capital of said constitutional governance in the United States. And this guy's a little bit out of the ordinary. He's an actor. And he played in a traveling company of Jesus Christ Superstar.
He played Jesus?
No, Judas.
Oh,
he played Judas and also describes himself as one of the top Michael Jackson tribute artists in the United States. He had himself masked up for the insurrection on January the 6th, but he was wearing his replica Michael Jackson bad 1987 World Tour jacket and was apparently the only insurrectionist that had one of those and wore it to the party. Nothing about a glove.
Tito is going to be so pissed.
But here... in the pleadings before the court... The production company that Beeks was with said that he had recently told them that he is a sovereign citizen.
Oh, okay.
And in the pleadings it says, sovereign citizens are anti-government extremists who believe that even though they physically reside in this country, they are separate or sovereign from the United States. As a result, they believe they don't have to answer to any government authority, including courts, taxing entities, motor vehicle departments, or law enforcement. And he showed up at the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and the pre-trial officer said, yeah, he told me he was a sovereign citizen. And then Judge Beryl Howell in D.C. Said that his sovereign citizen arguments were, and this is a quote, bobbledygook.
Mm-hmm.
And he continued to run his mouth in D.C., and make his sovereign citizen arguments, barking and grunting and hooting the whole time.
He is not a smooth criminal.
And he is not. But he, among other things, said he's appearing by divine appearance before the court. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Judge Beryl Howell, who was blistering prosecutors a month or so ago, and rightly so, turned him loose, said he's to go from Wisconsin to his home in Florida by this Wednesday and report to the court there, and he'll be under home detention and has to be home by 10 o'clock every night. And he joined in with the Oath Keepers. The Oath Keepers during the attack on the
loose and he's
home. Well, he's on home. He's on home confinement.
But he's got to be in by 10 p.m. So that means he's going somewhere.
Well, he's going to be on GPS monitoring.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Thorazine too. I mean the whole divine.
And but moreover, Mr. Beeks was, after he got done running his sovereign citizen mouth, he said, I cannot represent myself because I am myself. That's what he said. Yeah. And he said that, you know, I just need the FBI to give me back my car keys and my gold and silver. 30 pieces? I mean, it's kind of laughable, but by the same token, when you're just trying to build force, it doesn't matter how loopy they are as long as they're the ones who are storming the Bastille. You know what I mean? It doesn't. You know, you're just going for warm bodies, and then there's and this is just beautiful. A 26-year-old guy from California participated in the insurrection against constitutional governance in the capital thereof on January 6th. Edward Bedalian and Daniel Rodriguez, they got charged with conspiracy, obstruction, entering a restricted building and theft and destruction of government property. And they had a chat on Telegram and encouraged others to join in the insurrection, and said, we need to violently remove traitors, and if they are in key position, rapidly replace them with able-bodied patriots. Mm-hmm.
They had the chick with the but Slytherin crew.
It just gets funner and funner. Rodriguez threw a flagpole at police and set off a fire extinguisher at them, and then used a small black electroshock weapon on the back of one officer's neck. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that the one that had the stroke?
Bedalian, we don't know which one. Bedalian, on the other hand, he gave himself a pseudonym. He called himself Turbo.
That's like Taser Face.
Taser Face? Here's the fun part. He called himself Turbo when he went on the Alex Jones program, InfoWars. And one of his buddies called in, and instead of calling him Turbo or Taser Face or anything like that, called him Ed. Ed. And then Ed and his buddy Rodriguez went to Dude's house and told them, "Don't use my name. That ship has sailed." Yeah. And told him to delete photos showing them at the riot. But the FBI, because the FBI sorted it all out,
I'm sure.
And they have now arrested Ed. Mm-hmm. And so he's now been charged. It would be nice if some of these people would, you know, do serious time, but
they're giving him a bag of oranges.
But the one who ratted him out was the one who ratted him out was one Gina Bassignano, and she, during an anti-lockdown protest in December of last year, was out there screaming homophobic slurs and various and sundry manifestations of hate. She got popped too, and well, you know how it is. All we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it. Hey, Ed. His name was Ed. He was so cool, he spelled it with a hyphen. Ed, duh.
What?
That's an old Carlin joke.
Oh. I have to question everything now.
By the way, Ron in Raleigh says, Matt Gaetz is proposing a nationwide Stand Your Ground law. Says he was tired of retreating. When the fuck is Merrick Garland going to get off his Federalist Society ass and indict this child fucker? Kind of makes you want. Yeah, it's past.
He's out in Walmart parking lots.
He's a creeper. And it's kind of depressing that Merrick Garland will not get off his Federalist Society ass and indict the little pedophile.
You know, that goes back to 2016 and them talking about a pedophile ring. Who would have knew?
Yeah, it turns out the pedophile ring was right there. Well, and it, but then again, that's the way it always is with MAGAs. What they complain about is either something, it's all projection, and it's either something they've already done or something they're already going that they plan to do.
You want to put a name to it, but it's people, and there is a certain genre of people that will get together.
But projection is a thing. They're complaining about things they've either already done or they're going to do. I mean, eventually we will find a pizza joint with a basement that's got a bunch of little children in it, and it'll be a bunch of goddamn Republicans behind it.
And they eat babies?
Well, I don't. God.
And that's what I heard.
I know.
I got some skeevy
faces. Jeremy in Vermont says, so did the judge say, since you've been so bad, you need to just beat it to jail? Because when you look at that man in the mirror, you must realize no matter what you do, you're not a smooth criminal.
That's good.
Worked in a bunch of the greatest hits there. Well played. Well played, Jeremy. So,
no cowbell.
Yeah, we left it at home. I'll never do that again. All things being equal, it was nice to get some broadcast time in this evening. Got at least a half a show in. And it is, getting stronger every day, and I'm going to go now and do things that I have to do as a function of my recovery and my recuperation and my convalescence.
Yes, you have prior engagements.
You could say that.
Yes.
We will avoid any more graphic detail than that.
Just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. So I want to thank everybody for joining in the conversation, and probably be back tomorrow. And I just, you know, I cut these things short because I don't want to hurt anything, and I don't want to miss any entire programs anymore.
And I'm still.
And I have to.
Space for it.
Yeah. Well, this whole Cleopatra's barge thing is just. It works as far as it goes, but I can't control what I'm doing, and I can't.
And I don't have. Yeah,
we could have had the audio of this barking fool, Todd. But
as soon as we get it set up right.
Well, and that's one of the nice things is the little milestones like driving yesterday and getting out and driving on Saturday. They. Get every one of those little milestones is a little closer to getting us home.
Yes.
And we want to be home. The two of us, you know, we've never been particularly prone to homesickness. But we're
homesick.
We're eager to get back to our little home in the hills.
Alabama is your home, but West Virginia.
Not mine either. It's just where I was born and raised, honey.
No, but it's weird that I want to go home this badly, so. Yeah.
And it may take a little while getting there. May have to stop a couple or three times.
I'll figure.
But we will get there.
It's like roller skating.
We'll go from here to Florence.
Mm-hmm.
couple of days in Florence. Mm-hmm. We'll leave Florence, maybe make it to Bowling Green. And, I don't know, Bowling Green to Lexington or something like that. And then however long it takes.
But until it gets to where it is.
But, God, I just want to get home.
I do, too.
So thanks y'all, for Billable Rick, thanks for meeting Steve's challenge. Thanks thanks for jumping in, Sharon, and meeting Joey and Giraffe's challenge. Ralph's challenge remains on the table, and that would get us down to 1945 to finish the month, and we'll just keep that number where it is and hope that we don't wind it. Yeah. We'll find a way. We'll just find a way. Thank you all so very much. Thanks to each and every one of you, our subscribers at Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. And thank you. I didn't see if Steve popped in. That's on me. That's my bad.
Don't have
the
chat room up.
That's okay. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Ask them, because we really need to get this done in this Congress, ask them to please sign on and co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Everybody get your vaccine. Everybody get your booster. Everybody wear your masks. Everybody social distance. Gloves can be handy and a great way to make sure that you're not touching stuff and then touching your... Don't touch your face. Don't do that either. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer. And, you know, if somebody comes towards you babbling about how, you know, I'm a sovereign citizen and I just need my silver and gold back so I can go back and play Judas some more, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.